What was it like to hear about the JFK assassination? Or America's triumph over Hitler? We're seeing Queen at Live Aid. Our past is a collection of stories that bring us to now. Welcome to the Eyewitness History Podcast, where we view history through the eyes of the people that watch the events that shaped our world. Here's your host, Josh Cohen, and these are their stories.
Hello, listeners, and thank you for tuning in to the Eyewitness History Podcast. In this episode, we speak with Olympic gold medalist, former professional boxer, and world champion Leo Randolph. We discuss his remarkable journey from winning gold at the 1976 Olympics to winning a world championship. As a key member of the historic 1976 U.S. Olympic boxing team, which also included Sugar Ray Leonard and the Spinks brothers, Michael and Leon, Leo secured a gold medal. He transitioned thereafter to the professional circuit, ultimately leading him to championship glory. Here we discuss everything. Now I give you Leo Randolph.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-218-6010. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-218-6010. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-218-6010.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
Okay, I'm here with Leo Randolph. Leo, thanks for joining me, sir.
Yes, sir. No problem.
I'm very, very excited to speak with you for many reasons. Before we get into your life, your career, your accomplishments, please tell our listeners briefly who you are and what you do.
Okay, my name is Leo Randolph, and I'm a former boxer, and I've been boxing for 20-some years. And what I do now? Now I'm retired. And just going around different places doing public speaking.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Thank you, Leo. We'll track through all of it. You're being overly modest in your intro to yourself, so I'll have to brag for you as we go along. So winding the clock back, Leo, I'd love to start at the beginning. What was the Tacoma Boys Club?
It was awesome. That's what place we go. We have recreation. I started going to Boys Club when I was 9 years old. And that's when my whole boxing career started. So the Boys Club was a door opening for myself and my community that I lived in. So we appreciate the Boys Club for being there for us.
Yeah, absolutely. So then when you got into boxing, Leo, did it start out as something that was simply a hobby for you? Or was it something that you always felt you wanted to do as a living?
Absolutely a hobby and just for fun. When we started, I started as my coach and I, we was playing around in the gym. My cousin and I, we were just playing, having fun. And my coach came, the boxing coach came up to us and said, hey, if you guys going to play in the gym, you need to go ahead and come to practice. And so we started going to practice after that. And that's where that started. I was 9 years old at the time.
Wow. Wow. Wonderful. Okay, great. So then when did you make the decision to actually compete?
Well, it was a process. It started off like at that age, we was having a lot of smokers around, boxing matches in the area. And so it just kind of escalated. The competition became part of our activity as the years went on by.
Excellent. And for our listeners, a smoker is a non-sanctioned boxing match. That'd be an amateur boxing fight that's not sanctioned by the amateur governing body, I guess the AAU at that time. Wonderful. So I'd love to go on the journey with you, Leo, of the Olympic experience. I'm fascinated by this. One of the main reasons I've been looking forward to speaking with you has been because of this, as you might imagine. I'd love for you to please tell me how and when you found out that you qualified for the 76 Olympics.
Okay, going to the Olympics is a process. First, you start with the local, the local tournaments had to win that, like Golden Gloves. You win that. Then that elevates you to go to the local regional. The regional is the Northwest tournament. And at the Northwest tournament, then you go to the, we had to go to the Nationals. So you have to win the Nationals. So it's a process. You have to win, not fights in a row to go to the Olympics. That's even qualified for the Olympic trials. And so after the Olympic, you go to the Olympic trials to see if you qualify to be on the Olympic team. So that's another process. And after you win that, you have to fight again at the Olympic trials to see if you are going to be selected to be on the team. So it was kind of a long process.
Was it just I'd love to know kind of like what your mindset was. What are your nerves and anxiety like leading up to, and I suppose after, a boxing match at the Olympics?
What happened to me from the beginning, before the Olympics even started, we had an athlete come, my coach, they had an athlete come and talk to us like I'm doing now to different fighters and new fighters about setting goals. So he came, he was in the 68 Olympics, and he was a hurdler. A hurdler, so he just did high jumping. And so he didn't make it the first time, but he made it. He set the high jump record. And so he said the way he did it was to set goals. So I was 14 years old at the time when he came, and he talked to us about setting goals. And I said my goal is I want to win a gold medal in the Olympics. And that's how I got started on that process of going to the Olympics. I had a goal, and so I wrote it down. He said, write it down, and you put it in your wall. When you get up in the morning, you look up every morning you get up, and you see that I want to win a gold medal. I said, Leo Randolph want to win a gold medal. And I put that right over my wall. So when I get up in the morning, that motivated me to pursue that ambition to be a gold medalist.
Wonderful. Beautiful story, Leo. You allow me a smooth transition. I should have asked this a little bit earlier, but I'll ask it now. What was your training regimen like?
Well, to start off, like my coach have us go running. That's the main thing. Before we start that morning time, we get up in the morning and go for maybe a 5 mile run. And as we get closer to the fight, it's 5 miles. We start off like maybe 2 miles, and then advance to 3 miles, then 5 miles. So we do that running, and then go to do my thing during the day. I was still in high school, so I'd go to school, do my school thing. And after school, then go to workout practice. We had that routine practice that started about 5 that evening. So that was the schedule all the way up until my training.
Wonderful. And how would you describe your style, Leo?
Mine was aggressive. I pursued the person. Yeah, mostly coming forward. Yeah, forward. I wasn't a dancer or mover. Listen, I had to get out of the way. The guy was pounding my hand. But otherwise, I was aggressive. I pursued with, tried to pursue with power and determination.
Yes, yes. I noticed that in a bunch of the fights I saw you fighting. Excellent. Well, I have to talk about winning a gold medal. I mean, this is the dream for many athletes. Please tell listeners, like, the moment you realized you won gold and you what that achievement meant for you.
It was amazing. It was like trying to climb Mount Everest. You've been trying all these years to do it. You've been making all these process. You have your ups and downs, your cold days and your hot days. And then you keep pursuing, and sometimes you fall, you get up and you get down. But once you get to the top, it's like on top of the world. I mean, that was the best feeling ever. Just see the American flag go up and your hands go up, raise up. It was awesome feeling. Chills throughout your whole body. Everything you went through was all worth it.
Was all worth it. Amazing. Mm. I suppose we have to put a word in for the rest of your team. So for our listeners, the 1976 Olympic boxing team is often regarded as the best in U.S. history. It had yourself, the great Sugar Ray Leonard, and the brothers Spinks, Michael and Leon, as well as Howard Davis. If I don't miss my mark, all fighters except for Howard Davis actually would go on to become world champions, including yourself, of course. So how was the camaraderie among your teammates? And did that sense of unity contribute at all to your success, do you think?
Absolutely. We was a great team. And also, we met Chuck Walker. I remember some of the other guys that was on there. I don't want to leave them out. And, okay, we said Howard did. Charles Mooney, Heidi, we call him Heidi, little Heidi. He was on the team also. And our heavyweight was John Tate.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to mention some of those guys, too, that was part of the team. It was an awesome team. I mean, we just we stayed together, we did things together, we had fun, went to movies, and it became a good united team where we helped each other and aid each other along the way when we're like trying to make weight or whatever obstacle came in the way during a workout or training. We just kind of stayed together as a team. It was a great unit team.
Wonderful. So then after you won the gold medal, you're, of course, you know, walking on the world, right? If you can recall what you and perhaps your team did after you won the gold medal, do you remember what you did the rest of the day?
Oh, gosh. I guess I went to try to, because I was the first one to win.
Yeah.
Because of my weight. And so I just went and tried to root my other team on. After I won that day, I went and just tried to root the rest of the team on. But my mom was there. That was a great experience, having my mom come, because I wasn't expecting her to be there. We was in Olympic Village in Montreal, and so all of us, the athletes all over the world, was walking around the village, and I saw someone there that looked like my mom. I said, wow, that looked just like my mom. You have the hallucination because you haven't seen her in months. And then so I saw another person look at her again, got closer, and it was my mom. So I was so excited. Having her there was amazing. But all the people that was cheering for me, I heard my mom's voice out of all the people, and it was amazing. And that gave me more motivation to keep going. So my experience in Olympic Village was awesome. It was just awesome being there. I told myself, even if I didn't win the gold medal, just the thought of being at that Olympic was a great experience altogether.
Absolutely. That's incredible. Thank you. I'd love to talk about the transition then from, you know, the amateur boxing world to the professional realm. Transitioning can sometimes be difficult. Perhaps you have to make stylistic changes, perhaps sit down on your punches more. It's less pitter-patter and point stuff, and you're more thinking of landing heavier shots. I'd love to know what factors influenced your decision to actually turn pro.
After the Olympics, I had no desire to go pro at all. After I reached that gold medal, I was still in high school then. And so that's ultimate. And I didn't want to go pro. And so different people was calling me. Sugar Leonard Camp was calling me. The Spinks Boys Camp was calling me. Come on, we get together and let's make this Olympic unit where we all get together and be on one professional team. I said, nah, I didn't want to do it at that time because I was still 18 years old in high school and just having fun at that age. So anyway, I still had no desire and to turn pro, didn't want to box again. And then after about 2 years, my same coach I have now, named Joe Cloud, he's the one that got me started. He's the one that started with me when I was 9 years old. So I had no desire to turn pro. And he said, hey, I'm working with a pro team. It was called Muhammad Ali Professional Pro Team. And he said, hey, you want to be part of this? I said, not sure. And I thought about it for a while and I said, okay, I'll give it a shot. So that's when I decided to turn pro.
Wow. So then can you recall making any stylistic changes transitioning to professional, or did you keep it more or less the same?
I kept the same. I had determination to win. So I go after my opponent and use all the territory I have, both left and right hand hooks, uppercuts, use all that. And my desire is that, hey, I want to win this fight. And so I didn't make a lot of mental changes from amateur to professional, except for, you know, it's longer. So you go more rounds. So you just kind of pace yourself more. You don't go all out like 100%, but you just go at a good, steady pace for the many rounds you do. Because I start off at, I get 4 rounds and went up to 6 rounds. Then I went to 8 rounds. Then I went up to 15 rounds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Then rounds, then 15.
Right, indeed. Yeah, in the days of what we've called the championship rounds. Yes, sir. Wonderful. So from Olympic gold to winning a world championship, it was, if my notes are right here, Leo, it was 1980. You TKO'd Ricardo Cardona in the 15th for the WBA Super Bantamweight Championship. I'd love to know what your thoughts and nerves were like leading up to that fight, and then how it felt to finally win a world championship.
Wow, lots and lots of pressure. It's different with amateur and professional. Professional, you're dealing with money, you're dealing with interviews from different people, you're dealing with your promoter, and it's all about, well, the bottom line is just the money. They're trying to get that money financed. And so we had to get contracts, and leading up to that professional title was also very stressful because you see them on TV fighting and you get more nervous because you see them and you say, wow, I got to fight this guy. So I guess leading up to the title fight was a lot of training, 15 rounds of training. We're going to fight. I had to fight 15 rounds. So we had to train for 20 rounds. So 20 rounds of sparring and working out, running up and down the hill. And my coach was influenced to me, Joe Cloud, on the running parts, because that's a major part of boxing, getting in conditioning. But also I had a weight issue, so I had to work on my weight also to make 122 pounds. So leading up to the professional fight, that title fight was a challenge. It was a challenge in a lot of ways.
Yeah, absolutely. And then what was it like finally winning TKO?
I tell people it was great. It was like that Rocky movie. My theme coming into the ring was the Rocky theme. And that I based my, and it was nice coming into with that. And that what the movie was like. Once you win, while Rocky won, he became on top of the world. He started doing things. I was doing interviews, going all over the place with different New York, flying here for commercials, just doing things. And everybody want to be part of you. When you're a champion, everybody want a piece of it. And it's all about, okay, I want to follow you now. You're now your champion. So that's what I felt like. I felt it was a nice feeling, but it take away your goal of winning, though, after a while, too much of that glamorous life.
Yes. Yeah. I interviewed someone earlier this year who you probably know, Bronco McCart, and he made a comment to me after he won his championship. I asked him what he did afterwards, and he said he basically spent all night drinking milk.
Okay.
His team, you know, did all the partying and the drinking and so on. He said he never messed with that. So I'd love to know, what was it that you did after? Did you celebrate? You must have.
Yes, I did. They had a big, giant party. I was in Tacoma, Washington. It's kind of a small town compared to Seattle. But anyway, went back there in my home. They had a big, giant party and on my behalf of winning the world championship. But I didn't participate. I don't drink. So, and do anything and stuff like that. So they was out there partying, having a good time. And I was in there drinking orange juice and okay, this is fun. So it was all good. I had a good time.
That's wonderful. I got the milk drinker and the orange juice drinker.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Good time.
Good stuff. Thank you. So then throughout your professional career, Leo, I'd love to know, were there any specific fighters or bouts that stood out for you as particularly memorable or challenging?
The one I lost, in New York. I had a fight in New York. His name is David Capo. And I should have won that. They said I should have won it. But I ended up losing the fight, decision, split decision, loss. But that opened up a lot of doors. Sometimes a loss can help you evaluate where you're going and the route that you're on. So that loss opened up a lot of doors to help me to train harder and work harder. So it was a bad loss, but it was a good loss, an encouraging loss.
Yeah, I understand that. So then as you look back on your whole boxing career, Leo, what would you consider your biggest accomplishment?
I guess, well, naturally winning the gold medal and also winning the world championship. And those are the ultimate in box. That's what you're boxing for.
Yeah.
Those two things. So winning an amateur championship and a professional. So I guess I'm thankful. I give God all the credit throughout my whole career from even beginning. My faith and religion was a major part of me doing what I was doing. Because doors is open, I know that it was a blessing and blessing from the Lord that blessed me to go into certain doors that came about. So that I give God the credit for everything.
Absolutely. Yeah, thank you, Leo. That was a question I was going to ask you earlier, because I know faith plays an enormous role in your life. And perhaps I would love to maybe dig briefly with you as to what faith has meant for you and what it means for you now.
Even still, it opened up a lot of doors. Through the faith, my faith now, deep religion now, church all the time. I was just briefly married. I'm married now. My new wife, her name is Lynn Randolph now. And so I thank God for sending her in my life. And that's a blessing also. And she's a good Christian also. And so we go to church every Sunday. And faith is absolutely, positively a part of my life all the way.
Wonderful. Congratulations on the marriage.
Oh, well, thank you. I'm having a good time. She's a nice person, good to be with.
Brilliant. Can't do better than that. Perhaps I'll phrase it this way. What lessons has boxing taught you that you've carried out into the rest of your life?
Wow. What helped me too is, well, first, I like when I do my public speaking, I encourage the guys to get stay in shape. But the main thing is education. Education is so major. We have some guys on our team, Johnny Bumpers, Rocky Lockridge. Mm-hmm. You remember Rocky Lockridge's name, Rocky Lockridge?
Oh, yeah. The late, great Rocky Lockridge.
That's it. Absolutely. We was on the same Luduva team. So I would go work out. Rocky would come back and go to school. He was in college. And that's why I was stressed for all the new boxers. Make sure you get your education. You got to know how to spend the money that you get. Know what to do with it, because some promoters are good. Most promoters are good, but you got to know what's going on with your money. That's the main thing I was stressed. Is to get an education. After I won the gold medal, so many doors was open here in my hometown. I was doing things I would have never did if I wouldn't have won the gold medal. But once I got into that company, you got to know how to keep it, know what to do. And I didn't have the education to maintain. So gold medal opened a lot of doors, but you got to know what to do when you get in those doors.
Getting through the door, and then there's staying in the room, right?
Absolutely, absolutely, absolutely.
Yes, promoters, all kinds of names we could name, which perhaps we won't, but I suspect we're probably thinking of the same group of people. Let me see. Wonderful, Leo. Thank you very much. And you actually answered my next question as well. Perhaps my last question, Leo, I'd love to know, aside from what you just described, what would you say is your great cause at the moment? What is this something that you greatly and especially care about?
Right now, I guess helping other people. I still volunteer. Every 2 weeks, I'll go to a juvenile facility we have here, and I cut hair. I've been cutting hair now for about, it's going on 35 years, cutting hair. So I go there and cut kids' hair and just give back to society. I'm giving back. So my thing is helping out, volunteer. Right now, I flew out. I'm in Idaho now. I live in Washington. I'm in Idaho now doing a seminar for kids to help them to become to reach their goals, to set goals. So I'm here to motivate them. I'm here to motivate some kids, some new boxers that's coming along that want to go to the Olympics. As a matter of fact, they're training for the Olympic trials coming up. And so I'm here to motivate them. So I'm going to be here for my wife and I here now for the next 4 days, motivating some kids to be better boxers.
Wonderful. Couldn't ask for more than that. Great stuff. Leo Randolph, I really appreciate you taking the time for me, sir. This was a real honor to speak with you. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, I'm sitting here with my wife. She's here.
Hi. So,
nice to meet you.
So, we're having a good time here, sharing in my experience with the kids. So I'm enjoying that.
Beautiful, beautiful. Thank you so much. I won't abuse your time anymore, Leo. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Josh. Thank you for the interview. I appreciate it.
My honor. Take care.
All right. Have a good one.
You too.
Thanks for listening to this episode. If you'd like to support Eyewitness History, the easiest way to do that would be to subscribe to the show on the podcast player of your choice and leave a review. For more information on Eyewitness History, along with show notes and links to resources, go to ParthenonPodcast.com, where you can also listen to some other great podcasts by the Parthenon Podcast Network, such as Scott Rank's History Unplugged, Steve Guerra's History of the Papacy, James Early's Key Battles of American History, and Richard Lim's This American President, along with many others. Thank you.
The Historical Jesus Podcast is the sweeping saga of the life and times of Galilean Jesus of Nazareth, as well as the faith, religion, and church founded to honor and disseminate his acts and teachings. Join me, Mark Vinette, on this fascinating journey through time, exploring the many great works of Christian theology, literature, architecture, music, and art inspired by the words and deeds of Jesus Christ.